Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution of the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org. And NISCASA, the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, working to support men in their decisions to end sexual violence with the My Strength Is Not For Hurting campaign, online at nyscasa.org.
Welcome to the Capital Connection. I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us today is New York State Assembly Minority Leader Brian Kolb, a Republican who represents the 131st District. Kolb has served in the Assembly since 2000 and was recently reelected to continue serving as Minority Leader. Minority Leader Kolb, we always love having you on. You give us a different perspective, and welcome back to the show.
Always a pleasure, Alan. Great to be with you again.
What's it like to be the leader of a small group of people in the Assembly?
Well, you know, they say we pack a powerful punch, so I'm very proud to represent the members of our conference, and we've had some ups and downs as our membership ranks have grown and then have shrunk a little bit, especially in a presidential redistricting year, but certainly I think our ideas and our energy, and there's this old saying, it's not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog, And I think Mark Twain was attributed to that, and we feel very strongly. I think that represents, a good summary of what we're all about.
When the redistricting occurred, which it does every 10 years or so, did the Assembly Republicans get screwed? I'm going to give a little speech here, so whatever it's worth. The Senate Republicans stay in power largely because they're allowed to draw their own districts. You're not allowed to do that in the Assembly, and it's clear that in Blue State, New York, you're a small group and they're a larger group. Now, let me see if I can get you into trouble on this one.
Well, well, definitely when it comes to redistricting, as I've been told before, that the Assembly Democrats are not in the business of electing Assembly Republicans. So when you start on that premise, when they're the ones that are ultimately drawing the lines, they're going to draw the lines that most favor them. And I've said along, if we had a truly bipartisan or nonpartisan group drawing the lines, that we would have a pickup of probably anywhere from probably 5 to 6 to 7 seats just on sheer drawing of fair lines across the state. And certainly they're not going to do that. That's, you know, it's just like with the Senate Republicans, they're going to draw lines that hopefully puts in the best light of keeping their majority. And certainly this year is no different than 10 years ago or 10 years before that. I mean, with the stroke of a pen, the Assembly Democrats created a district in Nassau County directly to their base. They eliminated one of our seats in upstate New York in the Buffalo area. And then they tweaked other districts, which make it very difficult for us to hold on to seats and also to try to gain seats. And forget competitive elections, open seats. They don't do anything to help us for sure. And so, but it's no different than it was 10 years ago, the 10 years before that. As long as the majorities that are in power are drawing districts, the minorities will suffer at the hands of the majority, and they're not out to do us any favors to increase our membership.
Well, Brian Kolb, to put it mildly, as my kids used to say to me, that ain't right.
That's not right, and that's what the disappointment was this year, quite frankly, with Governor Cuomo's lack of involvement in trying to create an independent redistricting commission way before we got into election season. And, you know, obviously there's a lot of rumors floating around that political deals were made and cut all about redistricting for both majorities. And, again, I think the people ultimately suffer from having competitive elections, and I think a fair redistricting process would do far more to, shall we say, bring transparency and sunshine to elections in this state than anything else. And we lost another opportunity for this cycle, and there is, quote unquote, a veiled attempt for change for the next cycle, but that's a lot can happen 10 years from now.
Well, let me just say, I'm with you. I agree with you on this. I was astounded because Governor Cuomo ran in his election, and one of the major planks was that he was going to reform the redistricting process, and he didn't do it. And what's astounding to me is nobody seems to care.
Well, I think there's a lot of people that care, but the people that care are outnumbered by the people that don't care. And I think that's the issue. And, of course, everybody is complicit in trying to keep things the way they are, status quo in Albany, and talk about change. And I think that's why we did the bill about doing independent redistricting, you know, the next time around. But that doesn't really help us this time around. And I think it should have been a priority by the governor. But he decided, I think, for political expediency to take a pass at it.
Well, by the time 9 years or 10 years comes around, everybody will have forgotten this, and I would assume that it wouldn't be remarkable if they went back to the self-serving system that they're in right now. In other words, it got the monkey off their backs, but on the other hand, 10 years is a long time.
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay, so what is it like to be a Republican in your relationship with the Speaker? Now, what I say here is it's clear to me, and has been for years, that Republicans can be critical of the Democrats, but they can't be crazy about it, because if they get the Speaker really ticked off, there are things he can do to you.
Well, I think, first and foremost, let's talk about the most important thing we could do as being in the minority or being Republicans, and that's to speak out on public policy and offer different ideas, support the solutions that make sense, but just don't say no, offer better ideas than what maybe the Assembly Democrats are offering. That's our job.
For example?
Well, for instance, when this past year's budget, we did 12 budget amendments to the budget on establishing what we thought were priorities that the budget missed this year. Now, most of those amendments were voted down on party lines, but basically, we can then go to the folks that we represent and also other people in the state and say, this is what we stand for. It got defeated by party lines. Don't tell us that we're not trying to make New York State a better place. The people that are not making New York State a better place or could have done this better as the Assembly Democrats. Now, when we meet with folks that are lobbying in Albany for better legislation or different budget priorities, when we've established on the record what we stand for and what we'd like to see, it's not just the Assembly Democrats, it's what's going on in the Senate and also the governor. And that's our job. I mean, people get too caught up, Alan, with this, oh, you're not in power, or you don't control all the paper clips and the copiers and the offices and all that sort of thing. But ultimately, if you look at this past 2 years in legislative session, every major initiative that the governor touted as an accomplishment, that everybody touted as an accomplishment, came from the Assembly Republican Conference about the idea, whether it was power for jobs, ethics reform, property tax cap. All of the major initiatives we did were Assembly Republican ideas. Now, no one's walking around saying this is an Assembly Republican idea, because that would diminish their smoke and mirrors that they're putting out there about, look at the great job that we did in terms of getting these things done. But that's our job, is to stimulate and provide hopefully some incentive through our advocacy for both houses of the legislature and the governor to do better public policy. It's not a pretty job, but it's a job that must be done. But one of the things I think we've really changed with intent and purpose is debate on the merits, come up with better ideas, push everybody for better solutions, and, you know, not just be obstinate or throw rocks or fire off bombs just to try to garner some sort of media attention. I just don't think that that's what people are looking for, and I think our conference is respected much more than most, because we're serious about public policy.
Do you like your job?
I love my job.
Why?
Well, let's put this in perspective. You know, I was born in Rochester, and I grew up my early years in Rochester, Monroe County, and then I moved to Ontario County, which is a rural area, and I went to a small high school, or total school system that had about 1,000 students. And to come from that background, my family didn't have any money. I was the first person in our family to get a college education, and to be in a position today to be one of the four legislative leaders in the third largest state in the union, really one of 200 legislative leaders in the entire country, that's a pretty significant honor and privilege. And the reason I enjoy the job is I really believe I make a difference every single day, not just in the public policy mantra here in Albany and what we do legislatively, but more importantly, for the last 12 years representing my district and helping people back home. And I know that we have helped literally hundreds, if not thousands, of lives in my district that I've represented over the past decade or so. And that's very, very rewarding. I mean, you don't get paid a lot of money to do all this, regardless what the media pundits say, because I certainly don't do this as a part-time job. And coming from a private sector background where I made a heck of a lot more money and had a lot more perks than this job would ever have, but the reward and the satisfaction comes that you're really making a difference, I think, in people's lives, not just in my district, through across the state. And at the end of the day, when you look back on your life and say, did I make a difference in other people's lives? Did I help them? Did maybe I put a little bit of mark in this world on a positive? That's a very rewarding and aspect of the job. And, you know, it's frustrating at times for a lot of different reasons, but there's a lot of people out there that have frustrations in their daily jobs. I'm sure you do it at different times.
Nah.
But that's what, you know, makes me tick in terms of why I enjoy it so much.
So let me ask you this. You may mention a little while ago about Democrats grabbing Republican ideas and getting the credit for them. There are those who say that our governor, Andrew Cuomo, is in fact, you know, a sort of a Republican in Democratic clothing. Do you believe that?
No, I don't. I think that the governor is a very pragmatic elected official. I think that the governor is a very smart guy. I think fundamentally that New York has some problems. And quite frankly, I've said all along that Republican solutions are very good antidotes to our sickness and problems that we have in the state. I would just like to see him take more on it in that regard. As far as the fiscal, budgetary, and other public policy running in the state agencies umbrella, quite frankly, the social issues are what the social issues. I mean, he's a Democrat through and through when it comes to the social issues, which is fine, but I think he knows that to really govern and get this state back on track, that he has got to embrace better fiscal policy, or else you just might as well close the doors on the state because businesses are going to exit even more than they have, and you're going to have a wasteland with people without jobs and an economy that really cannot be sustained. That, quite frankly, ultimately funds all of the things that we do to help people in New York State.
So what's the Thruway Accountability Act?
Bottom line is, I think it's no secret by now that there's been an attempt by the Thruway Authority or a proposal floated to increase tolls on the New York State Thruway by 45% to commercial truck traffic across the state. There's been a lack of accountability by the Thruway Authority because once they're on the board, you know, the legislature can't do anything about it. They fulfill their terms, and when their terms are up, then the governor can put a replacement in. So the legislation I'm proposing basically gets rid of the entire board as we know it, reconstitutes new appointees, and part of that process is they have to have transportation / finance background so that we have competent people that understand the industry and understand finances, that we can right the ship in terms of its operating deficits and how it does its budget and spends the tolls that they do take in. It also consolidates the Thruway Authority with the Department of Transportation, in essence looking for efficiency gains by combining the two agencies and having DOT actually have the DOT commissioner have the oversight of the board as well. And you can't disband the authority because of its bond obligations to the bondholders, but that doesn't mean you can't consolidate operations and look for economies of scale, which I think we have, or we can do. And then over time, we think we can save maybe at least 8-10% on an annual basis of cost savings when there's attrition due to employees leaving in terms of on their own volition or retirements. And so, you know, that's the essence of the bill. And, you know, I think it'll bring much more accountability to Thruway Authority. I think we certainly would have significant dollar savings. And one of the other areas that I've always want to mention is I think we should get the Canal Authority, or the running of the canal, out of the Thruway Authority, because it's losing the Thruway Authority $75 million plus, which I, you know, is coming out of tolls. The tolls are meant for the upkeep and running of the Thruway. It's not to keep the canal operating.
Somebody's got to pay for those canals, right?
Yes, that's fine. Put it in the general fund where the entire state is paying for it, not just specific highway users. It's a highway toll. It's not a canal toll. And so put it in Office Parks Recreation. If it costs us X amount of dollars to operate it on an annual basis, then take it out of the general fund, not out of the Thruway Authority Fund, which I believe is taking away needed revenues so that you don't have to have toll increases. And we've had more toll increases in the last 5 years than we've had in the 50 years plus in the Thruway, and that's why we're pushing to have this really turned upside down on its head and hit the restart button.
Now, there are two pay raise issues. One is the pay raise for the legislature. You just talked about how much more money you made when you were in the private sector. And then the other issue, of course, is the minimum wage. And there's been some talk that there may be a trade-off between the two of them eventually. Paying the legislators more, perhaps, I hate to say, use the word bribing them, and then also, on the other side, the idea of raising, giving everybody a couple of bucks more on their minimum wage.
Well, first of all, I don't think they should be tied together for political purposes or non-political purposes. They're two separate issues. You know, my feeling about what the legislature gets paid or doesn't get paid should be taken out of the hands of the legislature. We should create a separate commission, just like we did with the judges, have a separate body decide what they should get paid, not get paid, and then it's taken out of the legislature's hands, it depoliticizes it, and then let the commission decide whether it's every 2 years, 5 years, whether there should be a compensation change for the legislature as a whole. And I think that's gets all the politics out of it, and then it takes the legislators out of it, and I think in the end we'll have a better outcome.
Yeah, except the politicians are going to have to appoint the people on that commission, and there's going to be a lot of winking and nodding going on, which is to give them a raise.
Well, you know, again, you know, I understand that, but I still think at least the public at large knows that the legislator individually is not creating his own pay raise. And I think that's the mental block that at least people in upstate have about the legislature voting itself a pay raise for the next 2 years, regardless of whether you're coming back or not. So that's what I mean about you got to take that out of it. And then, you know, any commission that's appointed by anybody, and you don't even have to have the legislature appoint the commission, have the governor appoint the commission. We don't have to have those appointees. And again, I think that lessens the wink and a nod approach. And then the governor, again, but you set it up that once the appointees are set up, then you set up a cycle that isn't conducive to politics every 2 years.
Brian Cole, I'm sorry. How come you can't find somebody really top draw to run for governor?
Well, I think first and foremost, it is a blue state. Second of all,
well, we had Pataki for three terms.
Well, that's correct. Different times. And I'm not saying we will never have a Republican governor. But right now, you got a popular Democrat governor, Governor Cuomo. By the average person, says he's doing a good job. And so, I mean, it's always about opportunity, Alan. It's about you can't beat somebody with a nobody. And there's got to be a reason to want to get
well,
the incumbent
did,
out.
They did with Pataki.
Well, at that time, though, you had, when Governor Pataki ran, you had Mario Cuomo fatigue. And and in the end, I think that if the Democrats had run someone against Governor Pataki, I think that there would have been a Pataki fatigue just because they've been in for three terms. And people just in generally say, let's try something new. So I think if, you know, whether it's two terms from now, three terms from now, if Governor Cuomo's still our governor and not running for president, you know, who knows what could happen.
Talk to me about fracking real fast. We're running out of time.
Short version is it's up to the governor to decide whether he wants to have it or not.
But what do you think? Do you think it sounds, to me, it smells like he wants it, but he can't have it?
Well, I think you've got to drum up some political courage. I think from our economy, I think we should have hydrofracking in the counties on the southern tier border that want it. It doesn't have to be widespread to the entire state. It doesn't have to be in the Finger Lakes. It doesn't have to be in central New York. It doesn't have to be in the New York City watershed. But go along the southern tier where those communities want it, put the regulations in place, make sure it's done safely, which I think it can be, and get the economic boom as a starting point in the southern tier, and then prove the naysayers wrong, especially in areas where the local communities are in support of it.
Well, local communities might like something. They might like marijuana. They like this. They might like that. But that doesn't mean that they should have their way if it's not good for them.
Well, you know, I understand that. But you've got experts on both sides of this fence that say it can be safe. They're doing hydrofracking in a lot of states beyond Pennsylvania. Governor Bobby Jindal down in Louisiana, you know, spoke about this last year. They're embracing it. I think that, first of all, vertical hydrofracking is not a new... We do this in New York already. We've been doing it for decades. It's just small volume. And with new technologies now in terms of treating the water, there are... And I've talked to people in the industry that have the solutions to treat the water that's... the wastewater as a result of it, but we just got to give this an opportunity to work.
I want to talk to you about Sandy relief. Terrible, terrible thing. The governor's talking about asking for $41, $42 billion. That's a lot of money.
It certainly is, and certainly New York State does not have that money. Our total annual budget right now is roughly $135 billion. It's a tremendous amount of devastation, I think, equal to, if not greater than, Hurricane Katrina. And there's a tremendous amount of damage, people without homes. You know, what still has to be determined is how much of the private insurance claims will cover the damage versus what's left that won't be covered. But you also have infrastructure. You have to have future flood prevention. So, you know, certainly it's a big number. But I think that, again, New York's one of the third largest states in the United States, and this is a huge economic hit to the taxpayers that locally we don't have the ability to take care of this ourselves. And in this particular case, just like the federal government did Katrina or other natural disasters that no one can foresee or predict, you know, that's what hopefully government's there to do, is help people in the time of need.
Does the government have enough money? I mean, certainly I agree with what you're saying, but does the government have enough money at a time when they're about to walk over the fiscal cliff?
Well, you know, again, I would always say is that there's plenty of money there. What I'm saying is what's happened over the years in Washington is we've misspent money. There's a lot of great programs, but there's a lot of money that's been wasted that, you know.
What's on the top of your list of money-wasting programs?
Well, I think first and foremost, I think you have to go and look at the greatest amount of outlay of our budgets and say, how can we spend it better? You know, military is one of the largest pieces of our outlay. Now, people say we got to increase military spending. Well, I'm saying is let's make sure that every dollar that we're spending in the military is being accounted for and spent wisely. You know, whether we're purchasing a jet at $17 million or $20 million, can it be built for 12 instead?
Or a submarine for $1 billion.
Correct. And these are the sort of questions that nobody really gets down into the weeds about. But I will tell you, whether it's your household budget or whether it's your government budget, those are the things you have to go through, which is sort of my point about the Thruway Authority. Let's see where all the money's being spent. Let's see what savings can be achieved. But you have to do that you have to get down into the numbers and the details. And I think just too many times we just gloss over and just say, oh, you know, we're talking billions. We can't go through all that work, but we need to.
Very, very quickly, that's on a constitutional convention for New York State. I know you've always been for it, but I'm always unhappy because they meet and then they same old, same old. So what do you think?
Well, first of all, I've introduced legislation to really improve the constitutional convention process. The voters will get to decide in 2017 whether they want to have a constitutional convention or not. I think it's still a great idea. I think it's an opportunity for a separate group of folks to maybe champion ideas that the political bodies of the state legislature and the governor are unwilling to take on with political courage because of worrying about people getting mad at them and not returning them to office.
Brian Kolb, it's always a joy, Leader Kolb, Minority Leader of the New York State Assembly, to talk with you. You're frank, you're outspoken, and frankly, that is not always the way it is in politics. So we love having you. Brian Kolb represents the 131st District of New York. Again, thanks for being with us.
Always a pleasure, Ellen. You have a great weekend.
The Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. Ian Pickus is producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC, Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare online at nysut.org. and NISCASA, the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, working to support men in their decisions to end sexual violence with the My Strength Is Not For Hurting campaign. Online at nyscasa.org.